Welcome to Comics,
episode
275.
This week, we talk about
Reign of the Supermen.
Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes, see what we're reading next, send us a message, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics. And now,
the cast.
So what's been going on here is nowhere near as exciting. There's a new hockey franchise in Las Vegas called the Golden Knights.
It just sounds like the dumbest thing ever.
Why does everybody keep saying that? I don't think it's that dumb.
It feels
okay.
It feels like all of the cheeky, like flashy dumbness that is Las. I guess it's probably what they're going for.
It's
the empty, superfluous, like, flash that is Vegas. It boiled down into a perfect name that represents that, I guess. But, like, I don't know. I really prefer names that have something to do with, like, the history or culture of a city. And I guess Vegas doesn't really have much of a history or culture beyond casinos, so it might be fitting.
What can you do?
And then the only other thing I have left to talk about is, I don't know how much either one of you are on Reddit, but there's a subreddit that I found that I really love. And it's
I'm on Reddit a lot.
It's r/natureisfuckinglit.
I'll have to check that out.
That sounds excellent.
And it's like, it really is cool stuff, but like the concept is millennials losing the crap out of cool things in nature. And it's great because sometimes you can tell that they're like playing up the millennialness, and sometimes you're not sure. And I love trying to guess which one is the genuine one and which one is the poking fun at millennials one. But either way, like, there's just some crazy shit on there, and man, nature is fucking lit.
I'm like looking at some of these things, and a lot of these GIFs and stuff I've seen on a subreddit that I subscribe to called Nature is Metal. And it's about crazy animals and stuff. A lot of times it's about like animals eating other animals and stuff.
Okay. Nature is Metal.
But there was like one from the other day of this bird called a golden eagle, and it like captures a deer.
Oh yeah. Dude, those things are fucking crazy. Those big ass eagles.
Yeah.
They're nuts.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Nature's Metal.
Speaking of metal, do you guys want to talk about this week's comic?
Yes.
This week's comic.
This week, we read Reign of the Supermen. This crossed...
Go ahead, sorry.
I was going to say, this crossed four titles just like the last ones, and this was 368 pages. God, this is like, every week we do this, I am baffled about how much of this there was. Like, I know it was a big event and a big crossover, but this is the third week we've had 350 plus pages worth of reading to do for Superman comics.
Yeah. So, what I was going to say earlier when I interrupted you is that this morning when I was like thinking about, I started thinking about this kind of we were going to record. I was that song, It's Raining Men?
Yes.
That started playing in my head this morning when I was thinking about this comic.
David, that's going to be stuck in my head for the rest of the day, if not the weekend.
You can take it with you to London. One more thing before we... there's a question that... I don't know. I don't think I mentioned this last time because I don't think it was. Yeah. So, anyways, Superboy. Excuse me, Metropolis Kid.
Not yet. Still insisting that he's Superman.
Oh, he's Superman right now. Okay. Yeah. How does he have an earring?
Yeah, you texted me this.
Who knows?
And I have it in the notes. And not only does he have an earring, right? So you're wondering, how does he have his ear pierced? But, okay, we know he gets his ears pierced because he's not really invulnerable, right? I mean, right. He could functionally be, but he can also turn off his invulnerability. Like, we see him get stunned and get burned and all that kind of stuff. But, like, he gets out of Cadmus, and, like, the clone Newsboy Legion, like, breaks him out. And then He turns around and says, "Don't ever call me Superboy." And he's got, like, gloves on and a pierced ear and, like, belts around his legs. And I'm like, did they put that on him in the tank? Because you're supposed to believe they just, like, broke him out of a tank and ran him out of there. Like, when did he put all of, like, the gloves and belts and 90s accoutrement on?
Well, where did he get the leather jacket?
No, the Newsboys gave
him
to
the jacket.
The jacket.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the jacket is in there.
But the ear piercing is the most bizarre part, because why would the scientists decide that needed to be part of his uniform?
Maybe actual Superman has a pierced ear, but he knows it's kind of dumb, so he takes it out all the time. But because this one's a clone and he's extremely 90s, he decided to leave the... It's a kryptonite something. I don't even know. I'm sorry.
No, and then we were texting, and I was like, well, he also knows he can never take it out, because of, like, the sun power regenerating the Superman kind of a thing. So if he ever takes it out, that hole will get closed up, like, immediately, so he can't.
Yeah.
Although, spoiler, he doesn't operate from the sun, so it's okay. Poor Superboy. He's so different.
To go on a quick tangent.
Yeah.
So, I bought Reign of the Supermen from Amazon on the Kindle. Like, it's the official version.
Yeah.
It's missing an issue.
Aw.
It's supposed to have Batman and Superman, World's Finest, number 9, When It Rains, It Pours. And it's just not in there. So my trade was only $3.26, and I think, like, 13 of those pages were art. So
wait,
if I'm missing Batman stuff, you gotta fill me in.
No, we didn't have
the
Batman.
Oh, then I must not have... I don't think I have that one either, because I bought it on Comixology.
Does yours have the spinal fluid-sucking aliens?
Yep.
Wow, what is yours missing? That's so weird.
So, at some point, Lois says that she has to go talk to Batman about this stuff. And I think that's supposed to be in there, because in, like, the official listing of what counts as Act 3, Reign of the Supermen, it's listed, but it's just not in the official trade.
Yeah, no, it wasn't in ours either. Because I do remember that line now that you mentioned. I do remember her saying that. And then
they just, like, left it.
And so. I didn't realize that it was gone. I was so engrossed in that other stuff. So here's how I want to start this discussion. Imagine you're a reader in the 90s, and Superman is dead, and you have no idea that he's going to be coming back, but you are a Superman fan, or at least a Super Family fan, so you're invested and you want one of these four to take over the Superman legacy so that you can keep reading Superman-ish comics. Like, who are you, like, who do you think is the most believable as Superman? And this is going to be difficult for David and I, who know so much about these characters. I think for you too, Jen, a little bit. But I mean, if you were a reader, who would you be rooting for to take over these titles? And I also want to specify, this is four titles, and each one of the titles had a different one of these heroes. So Steel was Man of Steel, Eradicator was Adventures, Cyborg was Superman Normal, and Superboy was Action? Something like that. Yeah. So each one of them had a different title in the four. But, I mean, if you're just a Superman fan, you're rooting for one of these to be the quote-unquote real one, or legit one, or the Superman of the future, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, do you want me to...
Yeah, you go first.
So, I think if I was how old I am now, in 1993, I probably would go with Eradicator.
Brutal, gritty, 90s seems like Superman?
Well, no. Well, I think he's the most super... Aside from, like, murdering people. Well, we don't really see that in here, do we?
No, just the one time. He only murdered a murderer, which, I mean...
Yeah.
You can argue about the morality of that kind of thing, but he obviously has a limit and believes that, you know, there should be a measured response of some kind.
Yeah, I think he's the most... he's the closest analog to Superman.
And he's endorsed by Guy Gardner.
Yeah, which is really important. Although it's Warrior Guy Gardner, which...
Worst Guy Gardner.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that. However, if it was 9-year-old me, because that's how old I was in 1993 when this was coming out, I think I would have gone with Superboy.
Really?
Because, like, I remember in the 90s thinking it would be cool to have one ear pierced at some point.
All right.
He was the coolest.
I won't begrudge you that.
He was think about the early 90s as a kid, right? Who is the coolest Ninja Turtle? Now, my favorite was Donatello, but the coolest one was definitely Raph.
And yeah.
It's because he kind of had an attitude. And Superboy has that same attitude. And, you know, he's cool but rude. Isn't that what the song says about Raphael?
I don't know. I was on it. I mean, Michelangelo was the coolest where I was growing up.
No, Michelangelo.
Which is the Superboy.
They each filled a. Each. Okay, we're going to. This. I'm sorry. I'm going to go on a slight tangent. So, each Ninja Turtle filled a role, okay? Raph was the cool one. Michelangelo was the funny one, and Donatello was the scientist, and Leonardo was the most honorable, most like a ninja.
Yeah, he was Leonardo.
Right. Now, when I say that Raph is cool, the coolest, I don't mean that he's better than the other three. That's just the role he filled on the team.
Yeah, he was too cool for school.
He's like the Green Ranger. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, the Green Ranger was morally ambiguous.
I like that we're using an analogy to explain our analogy.
So if I was 33 in 1993, I would have gone with Eradicator. Also because he has cool Bret Hart sunglasses.
Those are legit.
But the 9-year-old David would go with Superboy. I mean, Metropolis Kid.
See, I think I'm flipped of you. 9-year-old me would have gone with Eradicator or Cyborg. It probably would have been Cyborg, but then like Cyborg's spotlight issue is like him meeting the president and Bill Clinton saying, "You're a good guy," and I would have been like, "Nah, that's lame." So I would have gone for Eradicator, also because he had Energy Blast, and I was all about Energy Blast when I was a kid. They were the sickest thing ever.
Yeah.
But now, as a grown up, I think I would go either Superboy or Steel. Because Superboy is lame, but I feel like there's interesting avenues with his powers there. Like, when you see him just take apart a gun, like, he doesn't blow up the gun. He, like, holds the gun, and the gun just, like, kind of comes apart in one of the frames. And that's like, oh, that's clearly very different. Like, Eradicator is doing energy blast, but that's, you know, instead of the eyes, he's doing it from his hands. And Cyborg Superman is just, you know, Cyborg Superman. And I think the other one, as an adult, like, I think I would have rooted for Steel, because Steel... I don't like the, I'm the Superman from the hood, and I don't like that thing, but I like that he's the only one of these four that has a genuine backstory so far.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so it makes him a better character, and I think he's more like the old Superman than any of the rest of them, genuinely speaking, like, in terms of his personality. So yeah.
Well, he's the only one that also said, like, look, I'm not Superman. I believe in what he stood for, and that's why I'm wearing his symbol, but I'm not Superman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's cool. And I you know, he has the pseudoscience that when his facial expression changes, it changes the metal on his mask. I don't know how that works, but it does for him, sure. But yeah, I don't know, Superboy or Steel. They're the more interesting to me now that I'm older. Jen?
Okay. Let's see. I would have been like 7 when these comics came out.
Please say Bibbo.
No. No. Poor Bibbo, but no. I think I would have really liked Eradicator as a kid.
Yeah.
Because I liked the anti-hero type. I still do. But today, Steel, because I feel like knowing these characters, he's most in line with like Superman's values. He's he seems like less morally ambiguous than a lot of the others.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, just like knowing how he functions in more like contemporary comics than from the 90s, I think he's like an all-around good guy. Superboy, I don't know how I would have felt about him in the 90s, because I also didn't really care for Red Ranger in the Power Rangers. So take that analogy as you will. but today, I want them to kill off Superboy. I'm like, I fucking hate this kid. He needs to die and never appear in my comics again.
Oh, I kind of like him.
I hate him. He's so awful. It's that like I'm a cool punk 12-year-old attitude that I'm just like, shut up.
That's kind of why I like him.
No, I can't stand him. And Cyborg Superman's cool, but also I feel like he's really flavorless.
Yeah.
Like his whole shtick is like, I am robot. Like, okay, guy.
I kind of think that's, like, the point of him. He's supposed to be, like, kind of the stereotype of Superman. At first, at least. Like, he's Superman who was repaired with robot parts.
Mm-hmm.
But he's, like, maybe the ideal Superman. Like, he's all the uncool parts of Superman. Like, he's always doing the right thing, and... You know, like Andy said, he went and met Bill Clinton, and Bill Clinton was like, you're a good guy.
Also, did DC have some kind of deal with the White House at this point? Because the Clintons have shown up in, like, every trade we've read so far.
No, I mean, the person who's, the President of the United States is a public figure. You can use his image however you want.
I guess it's just, like, normally they put in, like, a fakesies president and... It's been very notably Bill Clinton every time.
Well, I
find it really funny.
I noticed in, like, recent Marvel stuff, there was a president who was, like, legally distinct from Barack Obama, but clearly Barack Obama.
Yeah, but that's the thing. He's just, like, generic black president. right?
But no, I think like, in this, they actually like they name him Bill or Clinton. Like, they call him up by name.
Yeah, I think they certainly did. So I found that really interesting, because a lot of the time, it's like David says, it's like legally distinct president, but similar.
Yeah. Oh, you hated Superboy. Aww. I think I don't.
Sorry.
I think I like him because he is a dumb little shit. But there's part of him that genuinely is Superman. And the interaction that Lois has with Martha Kent, like you didn't raise him though. So like whatever you instilled in Clark is not in this kid. Not at all. But the foundation of the person, like in terms of like biology is there. So this kid has the capacity to be as great as Superman. He just has to get there. And I feel like, seeing him go through those follies will be interesting. Like when he's like dancing for the camera, dodging these laser beams, and one of them kills Lois's pilot. Which, by the way, there should have been more repercussion for that. Like, Steel chewed him out, but like, you did get that guy killed.
Right?
Like, there's like, that was just it. Just like a little chewing out.
Well, you know, his reaction too is like, I'm real torn up about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah, how do you think his family is going to feel? Like, I feel like if this weren't such a big, like, high, like, event kind of a thing, you might have, like, I would have, if I were Steel, I would have been like, I'm flying you to this motherfucking guy's, like, kid's house. This guy had a family, man. Look at your fuck up. So there's a little bit missing there, but it was still, like, you do see him grow. I think that's why I like Superboy and Steel, is because you see them actually grow and be people in this comic, whereas Eradicator and Cyborg aren't.
All right.
Yeah, that's fair.
All right. Yeah. What did you guys think of the whole Lois going around trying to meet all four of them? Like, I gotta catch them all.
Yes, Lois is the Pokemon master of the DC universe. No, but I think, you know, the thing is, I you gotta kind of give Lois a bit of a free pass here, because yeah. her fiance died, but she also has to pretend to be sad for two people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So she has to act like two people she knows died. So I think she's kind of crazy right now.
Yeah. And you get that too when she sees Clark everywhere.
Yeah.
But well, I think she's trying to...
Jen.
I think she's doing a good job, like, as a reporter.
Yeah.
Because you can't just, like, watch these guys on the news. And obviously some of the news reports are made to be, like, not fabricated, but more exaggerated, because there's clearly a ratings war going on between the major stations. So the fact that she's trying to go out and see which one of these guys, like, might be the real one, or if any of them are, like, I feel like that's decent journalism, at least. So she seems like she's sticking to doing her job.
And I think we're supposed to get the one that Lois settles on is the real one, right? Because we get Guy Gardner endorsing Eradicator. We get Bill endorsing Cyborg. We get Lex and Tana Moon endorsing Experiment 13, not Superboy. And Steel is... This is the other reason I kind of like Steel. Steel doesn't fucking need anybody's endorsement. He's just going to do what fucking needs to get done, because he's Steel. I do kind of like that about him. But you get the sense that, like, Lois is the only one that can genuinely say, I know all aspects of Superman, and therefore I say this is the real one. And in a way that satisfies us as the readers, but also the people in the comic. Like, Lois was the first person, like, a couple times it comes up that Lois is the one who gave Superman his name, Superman. Lois had the first interview. Lois was the most public, visible civilian connection that Superman had with the world. So you get the sense that not just for us as the readers, but when Lois comes to a decision in the comic, that's when it will be cemented that this person is the new Superman. So it's kind of, I mean, I laugh about her, like, having to go catch them all, but I see how it kind of makes sense narratively for the story. It seems like it's a bit like she's just running all over the place trying to meet him. And, like, some of them she doesn't really meet. She just, like, runs into him for, like, 10 seconds and goes, do you know more than Superman would know? Like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah, it's not a good litmus test.
No. Not at all. Glad we cleared that up.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought Lois was okay. Like, it's understandable that she's going a little nutso, and, like, she's got to meet them all. Like, it makes sense. What I hated was, what was his name?
Jeb.
You need a strong man around here to take care of you.
Oh, man, that guy is creepy.
What the hell?
He's,
like,
a piece of trash.
I think she was doing all right on her own. Like,
she was doing all right on her own before she met Clark. Like, she won a Pulitzer before she met him. She's fucking fine.
Yeah. This comic was really weird because it had, like, this strange amount of stuff where I was like, seriously, dude, about Jeb, I think a couple other people, and then Lex, definitely, where he's like, I won't let a woman kick me. Right? I know that it was maybe trying to drive this point home. Well, I don't know if it's going to treat Jeb like he's a bad guy in any way later. Like, he's, you know, the dude trying to sweep in on the grieving woman. But every one of these dudes just was so stereotypically creepy offensive. And that's actually not something I see too much. It was almost like using misogyny as, like, a mustache twirly evil kind of tool. And it was way overboard for this trade. I thought it was really strange.
Yeah, I think you might be right. The other one that does that is Vinny Edge, the GBS, GBS boss, Tanamoon's boss. And, like, I think it's Tanamoon and Cat Grant are, like, fighting for his affections to be the main news anchor woman or whatever. And it's like,
yeah,
he's just a piece of crap. As a person and as a boss, he's just a piece of crap. And what bugs me is that Tanamoon, when she sees how much of a piece of crap he is, doesn't say a word. Like, not only that she doesn't quit, but, like, she's on television. She could, as it's airing live from the helicopter, say, and by the way, Vinny Edge hired this guy. Like,
yeah,
there's so many opportunities, where not without danger. So I'll give Tanamoon a little bit of credit that these situations are dangerous, and that by outing her boss's relationship to the setup, that she is putting herself in danger. But there's a lot of opportunities that she had to do it relatively easily, dangerously, but easily.
And here's the thing.
It's so disappointing.
She knows she has to. And there are at least two other major news corporations in the city. So it's not like she's completely never going to get a job again.
Yeah. Take Superboy with you to WLEX.
Yeah.
Lex will give you a job in a second.
Actually, Lex said that, I think. He was like, we'll take care of you and Tana when he was interviewing Superboy. So,
which, you know, you're a piece of shit when we're advocating that that Lex Luthor is better than you.
Yeah.
Morally.
Oh, there was one other really weird interaction with Myriad. So Sasha had just touched, like, the gang kid and had all his memories. And she runs out into the street holding a gun and immediately finds a woman and is like, hey, baby. And what made it even weirder is that the woman seemed not upset that it was like, you know, some creepster coming up to her and trying to hit on her, but that it was a woman doing it. Because obviously it was like the gang kid's mind in Sasha.
Yeah.
So, and I thought, like, that scene stood out to me as a really strange commentary / dynamic. But, like, what is this strange view of men that is showing up here, where they just, like, get shot and then run into the street and then start hitting on a random woman?
Yeah, I don't know.
People don't do that.
Yeah, no, that one's really weird too, because you could almost excuse the other woman's, like seeing a gangster dirtbag catcall a woman. It's terrible on multiple levels, but it's not unexpected. I would give the other woman who gets catcalled a pass, because I don't know. In my experience, I don't see that many aggressive lesbians running around like that, you know? So I would give her a pass just, like, being freaked the fuck out. Like, what is this woman doing coming up catcalling me aggressively in the middle of the street?
Well, I think she could be freaked out either way. That's, like, perfectly reasonable, but yeah. I thought it was a strange writing choice to, like, call out the fact that she was freaked out because it was a woman.
Yeah, and then also that when Myriad gets that dude's memories, that's the first thing she does is run out into the street and go, hey, baby.
Although, you know, now I'm looking back, she doesn't directly say something about, like, ew, a woman. But I feel like it's kind of implied.
Yeah. But I mean, on the flip side, we have a couple decent scenes. Like Tanamoon, Tanamoon bugged me at first, but then when she realizes that, when she sees Vinny and his scumbags come in and really start to take advantage of Experiment 13, of Superboy, not Superboy, I don't know, it's so annoying, he doesn't have a name. When he sees them coming in, she wants to say something, but Vinny correctly calls out, this is what you've been doing. I'm doing it harder and worse, but this is what you've been doing. And Tana, like, has to come to grips with that. And you only get, like, half a panel really worth of that reflection in her. But then later on, you see her too up in the chopper, like realizing, oh my god, all those people died, and it's because I didn't say anything, and I knew this was going to happen. Not that the bridge was going to collapse, but I knew about this attack, and I did nothing. And so I get a sense that in the next trade, hopefully we see something from Tanamun, because she's developing into a somewhat interesting character, or at least could. Which is good to have a female character, a black female character with that kind of depth in a prominent comic like this. And the other interaction that felt kind of out of place, but I really, really kind of liked, was Maggie Sawyer getting her promotion from the new commissioner.
Yeah, that was a cool scene, actually. I liked that, too. And it was unexpected. Mm-hmm. Especially the way he delivered it, you know, the way the commissioner delivered it. He kind of said, you know, we don't always agree, and I don't, you know, necessarily, like, I don't know, agree with your methods, but, you know, you're a good cop and you deserve this kind of thing. And
pointed out her leadership. Like, you know, she was saying this guy, he was saying this guy outranks you, but he, like, he kisses the ground you walk on, you know? So obviously you are an incredible leader and he should not be outranking you. You should at least be the same rank. Like, that's awesome. Like, recognizing that. And especially in the context of the other misogyny in this book, like, this is a female character put into a position of leadership and an outwardly gay, female character as well. Just like, obviously you're stellar at your fucking job, so you deserve a promotion. And it, like, all of this other stuff is brought up, but immediately swept past. What matters is that you are great at your job, and that's what I need. I don't care about whether we agree or disagree. Like, I need somebody who's a fantastic leader, and you've done an incredible job. And it's maybe that stands out. I couldn't understand when I was reading this why that scene stood out to me so much, but I think, Jen, it stood out because of all the other random little bits of of weird misogyny in here. That this stands out so much. But yeah, I really like that scene. What about you guys? Do you guys have any favorite scenes? Other than Guy Gardner and Eradicator fighting?
My favorite scene? I don't know. The part of the problem I have with this comic is that it, you know, it was like nearly 400 pages of them introducing us to characters. Mm-hmm. And I think that it kind of got slightly repetitive, because it was like, okay, here's this potential Superman. He's going to go do these Superman-y things, and then he's going to run into Lois, and then we're going to move on to the next one. And so it seemed kind of, as it went on, it seemed derivative of the story that preceded it. I don't know. I can't think of anything that really, like, none of the Superman scenes really did much for me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was, like, the scene with Maggie Sawyer, I think, was really good. That we just talked about. And I think that's part of the strength of Superman, too, is the supporting cast. He has a really good supporting cast. Like, the citizens of Metropolis and stuff. Mm-hmm. But then, like, the whole story with the spinal fluid aliens, like, what was that even about?
This is Spinal Tap aliens. I love it.
Like, I don't, that just, it, that made no sense to me. Are we gonna see them again later? Do they come up in later stories? I don't know.
I honestly think they're put in there because of the issue with Cyborg Superman tapping into LexCorp and impersonating the commissioner and then trying to get in on the investigation. Because otherwise you don't really get anything of Cyborg Superman doing anything worthwhile. You get the one that's narrated by the reporter, where he goes to the White House. And I mean, sure, you see him do cool stuff and you get the subtle implication that, like, oh, he could be the most comprehensive walking database in the world. And you're supposed to think that's a good thing because Superman, but this isn't a really dangerous thing. But then, you also see in that spinal fluid alien issue that he's willing to do ethically questionable things. And it begins to cast doubt on him. Because otherwise, up until then, you don't see anything that really casts doubt on Cyborg Superman. Because the DNA test says it's him. it's, I don't know where, you don't know where the cyborg things come from, but sure. I mean, Steel is obviously not it. Superboy is not really Superman. And Eradicator could be, but, you know, personality-wise doesn't really show it. So Cyborg is probably the closest legitimate contender, so they need to give you the same kind of doubt that you have for Eradicator. But the actual story of it doesn't matter. Like,
and that's like,
you could sneak that in anywhere else.
And they were just, I think they were really poorly designed characters.
Yes.
Like, their whole thing was kind of dumb. Like, okay, they kept calling the spinal fluid the juice or something like that. And I thought they were, from an aesthetic perspective, they looked stupid. And
it's the dumbest thing, really, right? They transform into humans to try and fit in, but when they go into the human form, they're wearing, like, medieval, brightly colored armor.
One of them had 8 arms!
Yeah. And it was apparently a sufficient disguise, too.
Yeah, those things weren't thought through. But they gave us Sasha, / Myriad, who, also, that issue ended like, okay, so she's insane and changes into other people, and she's just walking around. We're just going to let her go. All right.
Does she come back at all?
I have no idea. I didn't even know she would come back from Lex killing her. Like, I'm kind of disappointed. Lex killed her, but no, not really.
I guess she was dead. No one dies in comics.
And then, what was the other? I don't remember what the other kid's name even was. The one that gets, like blades all over him.
Todd? Oh, Dan?
Todd? Dan? Terry?
He had, like, a generic name.
It's Jeremy. I don't know.
See, yeah. He was very 90s, too. Like, it's like, what can we do with this guy? Let's just make him made it out of blades. And then he can also shoot the blades.
Let's make him so blazy he has to shoot blades so that he can hug his little brother without stabbing him. Also, he has a meter.
Yeah. And he was a proto-bro. Like, he was a bro in the time before bros.
That's pretty accurate.
Yeah. I feel like the other thing those dumb aliens did was provide Lex Luthor an excuse to get away with killing Sasha for now. So, again, we could see him stand up and be like, ha-ha, Superman is such a moron. I got away with a crime. Because he did that last time, too. He just, like, got up there and monologued about it.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot a super thing that got introduced here. Okay, we were laughing about Bibbo. And Bibbo's not a Superman, let's be real. But this is where we get Krypto.
Oh, right.
In this continuity. Because Krypto was in the continuity before Crisis, but this is the Krypto of this continuity. After Crisis on Infinite Earths and before Final Crisis?
I think there's a Krypto in Final Crisis.
Yeah, so I think this is the Krypto that survives, you know, into that continuity. So it's interesting that we get that Krypto and we learn why he gets the name and everything. But why did that old lady throw the dogs in the river? Just take them to a shelter.
She couldn't feed them, Andy, and that's what you do when you can't feed dogs.
Okay, there's like so many more, that pissed me off. There's so many more humane ways to kill an animal, and you don't even have to. Take them to a shelter, maybe somebody adopts them. Like, what the fuck are you doing? And why are you out on the docks in the middle of the night just to kill your puppies? What the fuck is this?
You know what really upset me? Like, the other two puppies died, and no one cared.
Yeah.
That really bothered me. I was like, this is a horrible comic.
Like, Bibbo, you're all about justice. That woman should be arrested for animal cruelty. She really fucking should. It's crap. But we get Krypto.
You know, just side note, the guy who was engraving the tag did not deserve to get punched in the face.
No, he has a fucking sign.
Yeah, he had a sign saying 6 letters only, and then, like, he asked it in a sleazy way, but he was like, well, I guess for an extra fee, I could try to get in the next letter. And he said it like it was extortion, but I think that's how it might actually work. So, like, well, okay. Why punch him?
And, like, as a guy who, like, my department in my company is the department that makes the signs, I get real pissed when people don't read the signs. So I am all on that guy's back. Like, I am behind him. I have, like, you have a sign that says 6 letters max. If motherfucking Big O can't read the goddamn sign, it's his own stupid fault. And if he's really pissed, I'm sure there's other engravers in the city of Metropolis somewhere.
Yeah, right? Like, why not just go down the block to the next guy who can make dog tags? That was such a weird scene.
Fucking Bibbo.
Also, oh, God, when he was feeding the homeless, and the guy was like, why are there staples in this? What is happening? Right? Like, Bibbo, get your fucking act together.
Oh, speaking of getting your act together, what did you guys think of White Rabbit?
Oh my God, I did not know what to make of that character.
I guess she gave Steel a very troubled backstory.
I thought she could have been interesting, but the way she was revealed was terrible. Like the concept that she had used to work with Steel, and Steel, like, it gives Steel this backstory. And White Rabbit is interesting via that backstory, but the idea that she turns evil for money, gotta get paid. And then not, like, she doesn't just turn evil and start selling these guns. She, like, embraces the lifestyle. Like, in the flashback, she's in a lab coat with glasses. So where did this mink coat thing come from?
She went from a scientist to a cliche.
Yeah, she went from scientist to stereotype.
It was just...
That's what gets me. She could have been interesting, but she just became stereotype. And all these times when she's like, maybe we could use him and all this kind of stuff, I'm like, what are you even doing? Like, if this backstory is true, you know Steel would never turn to your side. If you know he really quit because he couldn't take the fact that his guns were being used, what... Why earlier were you like, maybe we can use him? No, you can't. You know you can't. You fucking know that, White Rabbit. What are you doing?
Well, she's going to try to kiss him.
Oh, yeah, and that'll work.
Yeah, because that always works, right? Just, you know, kiss the guy whose life you've basically morally upturned, and everything will be cool.
Yeah. So she could, well, she could have been good.
Yeah. She was dumb, and they didn't play off it enough. Like, I feel like it was really abrupt, because you see her at first, and she's shooting random people in a gang war, and then it's never really explained why she's busy, like, actually engaging in the gang war when she's just a weapons dealer.
Yeah, that's true. Didn't think of that.
And then, like, Steel comes in, and he's like, this woman is the reason for my tragic backstory, and then they leave it, and that's... all there is to it.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, on the one hand, this felt repetitive, and it felt like there was too much of, you know. But then on the other hand, it feels like there wasn't enough time to really see these. I mean, we know why Eradicator and Cyborg won't get their backstory here, but I don't know. It just feels like there's a weird balancing act that's not being met here. We get 360 pages and we don't really know these characters, even though all we've been doing for 360 pages is getting introduced to these characters. I think we're supposed to be less interested in them as people and more interested in, whoa, cool powers. Oh, he's got an earring. Like, I think we're just supposed to be wowed. You know, I think we're just supposed to be 90s into loving this comic. And I'm not. Like, I've been, in fairness, I've been 90s into loving things before, and I don't remember them off the top of my head, but I know it's happened, when I've just been like, that's really cool, that's a sick energy blast, look what you do with your cape, oh, but that didn't happen here.
I mean, here's the thing, though, this comic, okay, so I think we can agree that this comic is definitely a product of its time.
Yes.
But in the 90s, they weren't trying to 90s things into cool... into coolness. They were just trying to be cool. This is what was cool.
Yeah.
I think they, if you really think about what the 90s comics were like, there was some restraint here. I mean, did you see a single pouch? I don't remember seeing any pouches.
Superboy has a couple belts around his legs.
Yeah.
I think he's wearing two or three belts. He has one around his legs, and then his boots have belts too.
So it could have been a lot worse. It's not great, but it could have been way worse.
And except for this, whether or not you like the shades, Eradicator's costume design is really cool.
Yeah.
David, you and I have talked about this. I don't know if we did. I think we did it off air before a previous episode, but that S that goes over the shoulders and clasps directly onto the cape, that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, it's very cool.
Yeah, Power Girl in Earth 2 has that shit, and it looks cool on her, too. Like, that's a good character design, and the costume is sleek, and it's neat. And say what you will about Superboy. Sorry, you go.
I was going to say Superboy. Like, we joke about his costume and stuff, but he's actually, like, I think he's pretty well designed. I mean, I think that because of Superboy's attitude, it kind of leads me to poke fun at his costume. But if you think about it, he's actually kind of cool looking. I mean, he's basically got a Superman jumpsuit, and instead of a cape, he's got a leather jacket, which isn't that crazy, you know? I think he's pretty decently designed.
No, and he's more unique. I mean, you're right. There is restraint there. He is definitely a 90s character, but he is not a 90s X-Men character.
Yeah.
He toes the line in a way that you know, is still definitely 90s and a little bit silly, but not crazy. And Cyborg Superman, I go back and forth, because in the actual comic, the art for Cyborg Superman is not that good. But man, the cover art for Cyborg Superman, the one that's narrated by the reporter, the cover of that one, where he's standing there and the wave, the American flag is waving behind him and it's kind of shredded. That cover is iconic to me in how I visualize Cyborg Superman. When we still thought he might be good. And that is my memory of this run, is that cover. And it's so well done. That's Dan Jurgens hitting it out of the fucking park. And there's an alternate cover, with Cyborg Superman 2 that's really, really good. And occasionally when, like, they do, like, all this wire thing going everywhere, like, there's a lot of opportunity to get crazy, crazy detailed and really cool with Cyborg Superman's art. But the actual cyborg parts when he's just standing there, maybe not so much. Steel, I think, is the loser in terms of the costume design department.
I like Steel's costume a lot. I think that it really reminds me of those, like, 1950s paintings of, like, industrial workers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like there's something that actually strikes me as a little bit, like, communist iconography about his costume design.
Yeah, I can see that.
Although that doesn't mesh with his character at all, I still think it's a really cool look.
Yeah, and that hammer's pretty baller. I ain't gonna lie.
Yes.
Like, you're really trying to drive home the John Henry Irons thing, but it's pretty cool. Get it? Drive.
See, like, for me, there's the Adventures of Superman issue, I guess it's 501. It's the one with Superboy leaning against the wall, and he's like, it says truth and justice my way. Like, I have that comic from when I was a kid, and to me, when I think about this whole event, the first thing I think about is the red, bloody Superman cover. Yeah. But this one comes to mind, too. I think it captures kind of what the whole Reign of the Superman thing was all about. You know, these people are supposed to be replacements for Superman, but he says truth and justice my way, which is, you know, truth and justice is what Superman stands for, but, you know, this isn't Superman. He is Superman, but he's not Superman, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, to me, like, that cover, kind of captures it well.
What are the covers? The covers also say the funeral is over or something like that.
Yeah.
Yes, they all do. Man,
that is rough. That's brutal. Like, we're moving the fuck on. Get over it. Superman is dead. And then the plaque does that too. There's the plaque that they have where he died. That Cyborg Superman, when you first see Cyborg Superman, he comes up, he picks it up, and he blasts it with his heat vision. And it says, in memory of Superman, killed on this spot while defending Metropolis. Like, I don't know who did the writing for the city when they put that in, but that is like a really brutal wording. He was killed right here. Not like, sacrificed his life, gave everything he had. Like, nothing flowing or like any of that. Just, no, he was killed right here. Killed, murdered to death on the spot. I just, when I was reading, I was like, that's just really weird wording for a plaque. But it's driving home the point of motherfucker is dead and we are moving the hell on.
Yeah, get over it.
Yeah, kids. Sucker.
What? Superman's dead.
You guys want to rate this?
Sure.
Okay.
Jen, you go first.
Oh, man. Okay. I'm going to give this a 2.5. It's average. And I say this because some issues were actually really solid. One we did not talk about was like the Prove It issue where the guy was trying to write an article so he could win Clark Kent's previous job. And I thought that was like actually really interestingly and cleverly done. But then like other issues, like, I don't know, the weird aliens. Yeah. That ate spinal fluid. Like, no. So, I felt like one problem with this trade as a whole is that it really didn't have good continuity. And I know that it had to present this picture of four different Supermen and the world that was going on around them at the time.
And but spanning, I also feel, spanning four titles with four different creative teams.
Yeah. That's tough. And I feel like that's really hard, and I think it would take a really firm editorial hand to kind of get them all in line with each other. But I think that's what this trade needed. The issues were probably fine when read on their own, you know, like weekly or whatever, but this was just really, it felt too jumbled. And my major complaint is that it felt like it didn't have a good resolution or cliffhanger. And I think that trades especially need to be grouped in such a way that you either feel like this is a reasonable stopping point where some issues have been resolved and you can like kind of put the book down without wondering what the heck's going on, or there's a big enough cliffhanger that you want to go out and buy the next trade. And I don't think this one did either of those things. It just kind of presented the Supermen and then was like, we have a mass murder problem. But then I think it may be cut off too early. Because they're kind of still mid-investigation. And it was like, there should be something else here. You know, they need to have a way to cinch the whole thing together and say, like, these murders are really bad. Who's going to solve it? Or something like that. You know, it seemed like it cut off in mid-sentence.
Yeah.
So that was my gripe with it. But I did think that it was better than Funeral for a Friend and The Death of Superman. I thought it was better presented than both of those. But on the other hand, I didn't think that either of those were very good. So yeah, average, 2.5.
Yeah, I liked Death of Superman better than this, but definitely I like this better than Funeral for a Friend. There were a lot of things wrong with Funeral for a Friend. I think I gave Death's 3.5 and Funeral for a Friend 2 or 2.5. But I'm going to give this a 2.5 as well. Cause for as much as I like Steel and Superboy in this, I'm sorry, Super Experiment 13 in this, and I know what Cyborg and Eradicator are and what they're going to become, but that's not in here. In here, they're just kind of there and they're supposed to be this, could it be Superman? But you know it's not. Even if I didn't know, you would know. Like, there's no way Eradicator is Superman. Superman would never kill a guy, even if he had been convicted of murder. That's not what he fucking does. And Cyborg crosses a couple lines, too, that I can't see Superman doing. And being duped by Lex, I can't see that happening either. So, like, you get none of these, like, there's this whole, is it Superman? But you know none of them are. And it feels, like, flat. Because there's only one or two, like, only half of this cast is a character. The other half are whoa, cool, blast, look what he can do with his cyborg arm. Oh, yeah, neat. You know, and that doesn't sustain a comic for me. And then all the little stuff in between that's supposed to really be like Metropolis and the supporting cast pulling the comic along, like Jimmy was really good in Funeral for a Friend, and Jimmy's just not here at all. Mitch has been fucking piece of shit. Mitch has been in the last two comics. Where the fuck is Mitch now? Like, I want to know what the fuck happened to Mitch. Even though I hated him the last two times, like, pick that up a little bit. Don't give me Jeb. Give me Mitch. So it's just this. It doesn't continue the last two trades the way I wanted it to, and it puts in weird stuff that I don't like. I don't like Jeb. I don't like Vinny Edge. The Spinal Tap aliens are fucking stupid, and White Rabbit doesn't work, and Bibbo and the fucking old woman throwing dogs in the river. Like, just what the fuck is going on? So I'm gonna give this a 2.5. I'm gonna give this a 2. I guess I do like this the least of the three. No, but I really liked last week so little too. Maybe I should have done last week too. I don't know. I'm giving this a 2. 2. David?
Oh man. You know, like, thinking back to what I said earlier in this episode, like, I don't think I can give this more than a 2.5. I think I'm gonna give it a 2. I think my problem with this trade is that it's all over the place.
Yeah.
And it feels kind of repetitive, like I said before. I think maybe if I had read them, each comic book, as a trade, it might have been a little bit different, but the way this is, I know this is kind of trying to be organized, like, chronologically. I don't know. I don't think that organization works that well in this comic. And then, I don't know, like I said before, it's kind of the same story four times with different dressing. I think it's important to read this. If you're going to try to read the whole Death and Return of Superman, you can't really skip this. But, you know, for the most part, I don't think that this comic is, particularly good. There are some cool things in it. Like, I'm glad you brought up the issue with the reporter, Jen, because that was actually a really good one. And there's some good art in it, but, you know, for the most part, it's just kind of okay. I'm just going to give it a 2.
Yeah. I'm disappointed. I was really looking forward to this because I have such fond memories of these characters and this part of this event from when I was a kid. And now that I'm looking back, I'm like, man, good thing I was a kid when this happened. I would be so disappointed if I were an adult.
Yeah. Well, I think there are people who were adults then who reacted the way we are reacting to it now, you know?
Yeah, I think you're right.
And that's why this whole thing kind of didn't go over all that well.
Yep.
Anyways.
Yep, so that's it for this week. Next week we're going to finish up this Death and Return of Superman business with the Return of Superman, which isn't any one of these four, spoiler alert. Return of Superman. It's crossing four titles. It's another 300-something page behemoth, mainly written by Dan Jurgens. He gets the primary credit because he's a boss. But, The Return of Superman. That's next week. If you want to know what we got coming up after that, I don't know. What do we have coming up? Oh, we have Archie coming up after that. We're going to do Archie.
Oh, we do? That's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be great. We're going to do Archie. It's going to be fun. And then after Archie, I think we were talking about doing Nightfall or something. We'll figure that out. I don't know if I want to do Nightfall right after doing this. No, wasn't Nightfall 90s too? Two big 90s events in a row?
Yeah, I think we should probably space it out a little bit more. Just
give ourselves a little bit of time.
Like, thinking about what we just read now and thinking back to Nightfall, I think I like Nightfall better, but, you know, I'll read it again and we'll see what happens. There's some rough stuff in Nightfall, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, there is. Anyway. If you want to see what we got coming up, if you want to listen to any one of our 274 previous episodes, go to welcometocomics.com. There's links, previous shows, all that kind of stuff. You can send us an email through there. There's a contact form, all kinds of cool things. If you like the show, please support us over on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics, become a patron today. I can't really say that we're going to we're not gunning for a super perk or anything that we're going to. No, if you become a patron, even for a penny, you get access to our Patreon exclusive episodes that come out about once a month, maybe once every 5 weeks, depending on how big of a series we're doing. And they're just all the cool little stuff before and after the show that we talk about that we don't put into the regular episode. Some of it's pretty fun. I think it's pretty fun. That's why I put it as a bonus episode. All you need to do is a penny. Patreon.com/welcometocomics. Yep, that's it for this week. Next week, Return of Superman. Until then, everyone, goodbye.
Goodbye.